This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Since yesterday there has been one item that has dominated the news, as you all know, and that has been the passing of the Queen. And I think that it is important for us as Muslims to know how to respond in these types of situations. When major events like this occur, what does our religion say in terms of the way that we react and the way that we behave? Because from time to time, people pass away. And sometimes those people, they did a lot of good. They stood up for the rights of people. They stood against oppression. They stood up for the poor and the needy. But they were non-Muslim. So what does our religion say? Five points or five principles that I want to lay before you, inshallah ta'ala, in this brief time that we have before us today. The first of those points, and the greatest and most important of them, is that whenever anyone passes away, but especially someone who passes away after having lived for nearly a century, one of the greatest lessons that we can take is that it should fortify and strengthen our tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because from the greatest names of Allah azza wa jalla and from His greatest attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is ever living, al-hayy. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us the greatest verse of the Quran, Ayatul Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins that very verse with this name of al-hayy. Allahu la ilaha illa hu, al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped except Him. He is the ever-living, the self-sufficient subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because every other name of Allah azza wa jalla and every other attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes back to this name of al-hayy, that Allah is ever-living. Because a God cannot be all-knowing and all-seeing and all-hearing and all-powerful and all-merciful except if He is ever-living subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah azza wa jalla in the Quran, when He speaks to us and He tells us and commands us to have tawheed in Him, to call upon Him, to make dua to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have ikhlas and sincerity in our worship of Him, this is the name that He uses in the Quran. Huwa al-hayyu la ilaha illa hu, fad'uuhu mukhlisina lahu ad-deen. He is al-hayy, the ever-living. None has the right to be worshipped except Him. So worship Him alone and make your religion sincerely for Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ. Place your trust in al-hayy, the ever-living, the one who never dies. And glorify and praise Him. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say in the dua that he would make, أَنْتَ الْحَيُّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ وَالْجِنُّ وَالْإِنسُ يَمُوتُونَ. You are, O Allah, the ever-living, the one who never dies. And every other human and every jinn will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in the Quran, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everything in this world, everything in this universe will cease to exist. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. But the face of your Lord, full of nobility and honor, will remain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-powerful. And no matter how long or short a person's life is, no matter if you live for 10 years or for 100 years, you will certainly die at one point or another. Your time will come to an end. But the Lord that we worship, the Lord upon whom we trust, the Lord that we devote our whole lives to, is a Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala that never dies. And from the meanings of the name of Allah azza wa jal, al-hayy, is that His life is perfect and complete in every way, shape and form subhanahu wa ta'ala. Me and you, we may live for over 100 years, but many of those years will be years of illness, years of pain, years where we can't go about in our daily lives in the way that we want. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, His life is perfect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is complete in every way. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't become tired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't feel pain. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't become sick or weak, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal is perfection in every way. So when you hear of someone who lived for nearly a century, one of the things that it should always make us do is to remember the completeness and the perfection of our Lord and Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should strengthen and fortify our tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That each and every single one of us will stand before Him, Jalla wa Ala. And that each and every single one of us will be held to account. That's the first point that I wanted to mention before you today. The second point that I wanted to mention to you is that it is from the aqeedah of Islam, from the aqeedah of every Muslim, that only the people of Iman enter into Jannah. And everyone who doesn't accept Iman goes into the fire. That is a principle that is established in the Quran and in the Sunnah in multiple narrations. And it is one of the cornerstones of our religion. Me and you, we worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we try our utmost to obey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this principle. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah doesn't forgive any type of shirk that is associated with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He forgives everything else to whomsoever He wills, جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. The person who has Iman, and he sins and he does evil, there is hope for that person because they have Iman. But the person who doesn't have Iman, the person who doesn't believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to them in this life the reward that they would have got from their good character and from the good that they did and the help that they offered to others. But they have no portion of the hereafter. That is part of our Iman. And part of that principle is therefore that it is not permissible to seek forgiveness for those who do not die upon Islam. It's not allowed for you to seek forgiveness for someone who died upon other than Islam. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. Allah says it is not befitting for the Prophet or for the believers that they should seek forgiveness for the disbelievers after it has become clear and apparent to them that they are from the people of the fire. And were it to have been allowed for anyone to seek forgiveness for someone who died upon other than Iman, then it would have been allowed for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, collected in Sahih Muslim, he said, I sought permission from my Lord that I should go and visit the grave of my mother. And I sought permission from my Lord that I should seek forgiveness for her. So as for visiting her grave, he gave me permission to do so. But as for seeking forgiveness for her, he refused. So if anyone would have been allowed to do so, it would have been the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not just for any and every person, for his own mother, the person who gave birth to him. But that is the principle that Allah Azza wa Jalla has established upon this religion. The third point that is also an extension of that second point is that once we've established that principle that the people of Jannah, the people of Iman, and the people of the fire, the people of other than Iman, then it is not also befitting or proper or correct, according to many of the scholars, that we say about any individual that they are from the people of Jannah or from the people of the fire. Unless there is an explicit text in the book of Allah or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Me and you, we can say that Abu Bakr is in Jannah, Umar is in Jannah, Uthman is in Jannah, Ali is in Jannah, radiyallahu anhum, and others from amongst the companions, because there are explicit texts in the Quran and sunnah that testify to that. Me and you, we can stand and we can say Abu Lahab is in the fire, Abu Jahl is in the fire, Fir'aun is in the fire, because there are texts in the Quran and the sunnah that specifically say that very thing. But as for everyone else, it's not befitting for me or you to stand here and to say about myself or yourself that we are from the people of Jannah. We hope good for the people of Iman. Someone dies upon Islam, we ask Allah to forgive them and have mercy upon them. And we hope and pray that they will be from the people of Jannah. But to name someone and say so-and-so is from the people of Jannah, that's not from the position of the Muslim. And there are a number of ahadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when some of the companions would make such a testimony, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, no, rather he's from the people of the fire. And you only need to open up the books of hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, and look at the chapters of maghazi, of battles and war, where some of the companions would say someone, because of his courage and bravery, he's from the people of Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, no, he's not. And it shows to you, you can't make that, just even based upon someone's apparent actions, you can't make that declaration. And just as you can't make that declaration for a Muslim, then you shouldn't make that declaration for a specific person from the non-Muslims. You make the general ruling. As for someone specifically by name, their affair is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who judges. And Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't make it incumbent upon me or upon you. It's not my responsibility or yours to name people and place them either into the fire or into paradise. That is Allah's providence alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make the general rule because that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned to us in the Quran and the Sunnah. Specifically, that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. The fourth point is that just because someone may be a non-Muslim, it doesn't mean that you can't acknowledge the good that they did. Someone stood up for the rights of the poor. Someone stood up and he helped the oppressed. Someone stood up and they did good for the general community and for the general people. It is from good character and from justice in our religion that you acknowledge those people, even if those people were non-Muslim. To say that someone did good, helped people, did a lot of good, and they died upon that, that's something which you can testify to. It's something which you can speak about and acknowledge, because it's something which all of the people have acknowledged besides us and besides yourself as well. And the Prophet ﷺ did the same. In the hadith, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ spoke about some of the good characteristics that the Byzantine Romans used to have. He used to say about them that they have four characteristics that are praiseworthy. From amongst those characteristics was that they would help the poor and the needy in their community. Someone was poor, someone was needy, they would look after them. And from those characteristics is that if from amongst their nobility and their powerful, someone wanted to commit oppression, they would stop that oppression from taking place. The Prophet ﷺ praised them for those characteristics and they were non-Muslims. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there lived a man by the name of Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. His son, Jubayr ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, was one of the companions of our Prophet ﷺ. But his father, Al-Mut'im ibn Adi, was from the leaders of the Arabs, but he died as a non-Muslim. But the Prophet ﷺ honored him and acknowledged the good that he did for Islam and the Muslims, just as he acknowledged the good that his own uncle Abu Talib did, even though he also died upon other than Islam. And Mutim ibn Adi, when the Prophet ﷺ returned from Ta'if, when the people of Ta'if stoned him, and they drove him out of a Ta'if with those pebbles and those stones, and the Prophet ﷺ had blood flowing from his body. It was Al-Mutim ibn Adi who came, and he ensured safety for the Prophet ﷺ returning into Mecca. He said, I will be your guarantor. I will be the one who will give you safety as you return into the city of Mecca. And when the people of Quraysh did that social boycott, that economic and social boycott against the Muslims and against the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ, Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib, they said that we won't marry you, you can't have business with us, you can't live with us, and they had to go and live in the desert outside on the outskirts of Mecca. And they wrote up a pact that they placed inside of the Kaaba to show that they weren't going to have anything to do with those people who were Muslims. When some of the people of Quraysh, when the Arabs, they saw the oppression that was being committed, they went and they stopped that oppression from taking place. It took a while, took time, but eventually they stood up against that oppression. And Al-Mutim ibn Adi was one of those people who went and he tore up that pact that was written in the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ, a number of years later, the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, a number of years later, in the Battle of Badr, after the battle had finished, and the Prophet ﷺ had all of these prisoners of war, Meccans, who were enemy combatants, and now they are prisoners of war. The Prophet said, ﷺ, if Mutim ibn Adi was still alive today, and he spoke to me and told me to free these people, I would free them for him. Free them for him. Acknowledging the good that he did, acknowledging the favor that he had upon the Muslims, acknowledging that he stood up against the oppression that was being committed against the Muslims. So to acknowledge someone's good, to acknowledge that someone did something which is beneficial, it is something which is from justice and it is something which is from good character. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he blesses us all with iman, us and our families and our children, and that Allah azza wa jal makes us from amongst those people who live upon iman and die upon iman and are resurrected with the people of iman. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'ani wa sunnah wa nafa'ani wa yakum bima fihi min al-ayati wal hikmah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li jami'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. The fifth and final point that I want to mention to you inshallah ta'ala as we conclude this khutbah is the importance of remembering death. Death is something which will approach each and every single one of us. And someone may live for 100 years, but as we know, as our Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the moment that the angel came and he breathed life into them as they were in the womb of their mother, he was commanded to write 4 things. And from amongst those four things that he was commanded to write, that the angel was commanded to write, is the ajal, the lifespan of each and every single one of us. And when that lifespan comes to an end, whether it be short or whether it be long, whether it be a life full of ease or a life full of difficulty, whether you live a life of riches or a life of poverty, when that moment and that time comes, it is not advanced nor delayed by a single moment. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ When that appointed time comes, it is not brought forth by a moment, nor is it delayed by a single moment. Each and every single one of us is upon a journey towards our grave and towards what is inevitable in terms of death. How well you prepare for that journey, that is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from each and every single one of us. What Allah azza wa jalla commands us to do to prepare for that time, to the best of your ability, by worshipping Allah azza wa jalla and having iman in him, by doing as many good deeds as you can do, and by staying away from the haram, by helping those who are in need, and by staying away from all types and forms of oppression. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed day of Al-Jumu'ah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with iman, and that Allah azza wa jalla makes us steadfast upon his religion, us and our families and our children, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us with iman. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا اللهم من الراشدين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين